Acts 9, starting in verse 19. So when he had received food, he arose and was baptized. Wait a minute. Yeah, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength, confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea, sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Just that far in the reading of the Word, may that Word be in us a living stream of living water. Well, let's approach the throne of grace once again. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we have worshipped you in familiar ways, and we would now do so by a very familiar practice, that of hearing the Word of God preached from one of your servants. We have not come to be entertained by the wisdom, power of men, but Lord, this is the method, the manner, in which your Word goes forward to convict sinners, draw in the saints, encourage and strengthen the faith of your people. So we pray for your Spirit's help, and the one who speaks and those who hear, that together we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well begun is half done, is an idiom that is attributed to Aristotle. Simply means a good foundation leads to a good finished product. Several ways to say that, I guess. Of course, starting well is a big help to reaching success. If you are going to go somewhere, it's generally a good idea to start off in the right direction. If you're going to get up and go, you cannot win the race if you're standing still on the starting line. If the gun goes off and the start, and you're just standing there, there's not much hope that you're going to even finish. Okay, but is there such a thing as starting too early? 16-year-old comes to faith in Christ, professes that he or she is a believer. Should we ask that 16-year-old to teach the Sunday school class next week? No, we should not. Lead the Bible study? No. Be a pastor or preach in a church? Brothers and sisters, it's sad to say there are many, I was surprised at how many, examples. This is no exaggeration. Look it up yourself. There are 5 or 6-year-old preachers on the web. 5 or 6 years old. They're very cute. What are they doing? I think they are imitating more than they actually know what they are doing. They are imitating what they watched their father, their uncle, their brother do. They are, for lack of a better phrase, putting on a show. They're acting. These things ought not so to be. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily." In other words, there should be caution, inquiry, a testing of their gifts. This is wise. It brings us to our text. As soon as Saul was baptized, he joined the Christian Brotherhood and he publicly declared this new faith that he has, that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 19 tells us he spent some days with the disciples in Damascus. But what the book of Acts does not give us are all the details. The book of Acts doesn't actually lay out Thursday, Friday, next week, next month. It doesn't do that. And it certainly doesn't do it here. He spent some days with no idea how long those days were. And by the way, I don't mean 24 hours. I mean how many days. We don't know. But Galatians 1, he tells us that after some time, he went to Arabia. Now, just when we hear that, we go, oh, he went to Saudi Arabia. I didn't say Saudi Arabia. He went to Arabia. Biblical scholarship tells us that that's an area that describes the area around Damascus. All it means is that he went somewhere other than where he was. What did he do there? If you look at the rest of his writings in the New Testament, it's apparent that he studied the Old Testament with new eyes. The Holy Spirit is now at work in Saul, in his heart and in his mind. Paul is emerging. By the way, there is very little about when his name changed. You won't find a text that says that on Thursday they started calling him Paul. We don't have that. But all of a sudden there is a change, and at that point in the scriptures he's no longer referred to as Saul. Only Paul. What's going on here? If we're not to lay hands on anyone suddenly, Paul, it appears, pretty suddenly becomes a preacher and teacher. He's a new man with a new message and a new fellowship. He is a new man. Verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ. His encounter on the road to Damascus changed him. This message is not meant to encourage you to become an apostle. Okay, let's just state that right up front. This message is not meant to enlist you in the new school of evangelism. This message is not meant to try and get you to sign up to become a missionary or a pastor. This message is about Saul. Paul is describing something. And yet, there is a message for you in what happens to Paul. And it begins immediately. I like the King James in this particular place. King James is the word straightway. Straightway he preached the Christ. The change in Saul was quick. And it was dramatic. And it was shocking to the people who knew Saul. Verse 21. All who heard were amazed. And they said, wait a minute. Isn't this the guy who was going around with warrants from the high court? Isn't that who this is? Wasn't he trying to destroy this name? Now he's preaching? How can that be? What happens when a person becomes a Christian? You know, it's not like changing your address or a new apartment or a new job. You could move across the country, couldn't you? And still be the same old you. Isn't that true? Same old you in new surroundings. But the old you still intact. Well, that's not what happened to Paul. It's not that he just had a change of uniform, association, name. But what does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Paul's describing not only what happens to every real Christian, but what happened to him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, become new. The Christian is a new creation. Something has changed completely. Saul met Jesus Christ in a most dramatic way, and he was given a new heart and a new life. And so begins his new record. Straightway. How many of us know that some bright mornings lead to gloomy afternoons or dark, stormy nights? You may know yourself personally stories of people who began well, looked promising, but soon they went off track. They ended up going nowhere. Are we surprised by that? Well, sometimes it's very disappointing. But I wonder why it should take us by surprise when the Lord gave that illustration in Mark chapter 4, if you remember. Parable of the sower. Sower went out to sow, and some of that seed fell on stony ground. And it says there that immediately it popped up. In other words, it sprang up and showed signs of life. It was lifelike. So that you would have looked and said, look at that! brand new life. Wow! But that same text goes on to say, in the heat of the sun, that thing that sprang up withers away. Do we not know people who have had some sudden, surprising conversion, but they ended up withered? Do you know people like that? I do. Thought my college roommate was going to be my closest Christian brother for the rest of my life. I don't even know where he lives now. And the guy that I prayed with almost every morning, from what I understand, doesn't even go to church. You have a story like that. You know people like that. The Christian life has something uncertain about it. And we should, when a person has a converting experience, we should watch for fruit, for growth. We should watch how that person deals with trial. There's a very interesting word in the Bible, endurance, those who endure. Hebrews 10, verse 36. You have need, after you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. You have need of endurance. Mark 13:13. The Lord Himself says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Over 110 times, there's some form of the word endurance in the Bible. We're going to face all kinds of things that may test our faith. But the greatest comfort for a new Christian is that although the Bible encourages, admonishes, pushes endurance, the Bible also says over and over, Psalm 136, verse 1, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You know how that finishes? For His mercy endures forever. Yes, the new Christian is a changed person. And hopefully that new Christian, genuine salvation, is one who has an enduring faith. Not asking you if you have become Paul. I know you haven't. But brothers and sisters, I might ask you, have you become a Christian? Are you a new creature in Christ? Are you a new man, a new woman? Well, we'll give you a new message. Saul increased, verse 22, all the more in strength, confounded the Jews who dwell in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. This man who had had a stack of warrants for the arrest of Christians. Let's make no mistake. He was on his way to Damascus to drag them off to jail. Religious jail. And now he is proving that Jesus is the Christ. You have to go back and look, you know, in verse 6 about the meeting with the Lord, to say in verse 6 there, so he trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what would you want me to do?" The meeting he has with the Lord shakes him to the bones. What would you have me to do? And the answer that Jesus gives is, "You've persecuted me. Now you know me. Now go preach." And he did that. Straightway. Immediately. Paul doesn't ask the apostles for permission. He doesn't apply to a seminary to get an MDiv. They might have said, by the way, if he had gone to the apostles at that moment, what might they have said? "Hey, wait a minute. Slow down. You're Saul. Maybe you're rushing into this. Do you have any training?" Etc., etc. Please don't forget who Saul is. Saul was a Jew. He tells us later, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's connected. He tells us he studied under Gamaliel. What does that mean? It means he was educated in the Old Testament. He had a PhD. He was a doctor of theology, history, Jewish law. And Paul did what every true Christian ultimately does. On meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to the Lord, "What will you have me to do?" Paul's willingness and prompt obedience make his conversion believable. In other words, they prove the genuine faith had come to him. Paul wasn't arguing. Paul wasn't saying, "Well, maybe a few years from now, maybe after I've been in the church a while." Paul wants to get busy doing what the Lord asked him to do. There is a period where he separates himself. Frankly, I would love that little biography, that autobiography. He was off wherever he was, reading the Old Testament with brand new eyes. "Now I get it." Brothers and sisters, what are you called to do? The answer is different for different Christians. But everyone who receives the gospel is called to preach the gospel. And I use the word "preach" in the broadest sense. Perhaps not in the same way. But you are called to speak for Christ. One example. Remember the demon-possessed man from Mark 5. They can't control him. He's possessed by a legion. Breaks chains. Running around naked, half crazed. But when he comes face to face with Jesus and Jesus delivers him, what does he do? In Mark 5, verse 19, he begs Jesus to go with him. Tries to get in the boat. Verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. Some people may say that a new Christian should wait. A new Christian should take their time. But what does the Bible say? I would argue that the Bible says straightway. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We also believe, therefore we speak. Acts chapter 4, a little earlier. Peter, dragged before the official bodies. Acts 4:20, Peter says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. Acts 1, verse 8, when the Lord is about to be taken up into heaven, He says to His followers, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall take 3 months and go off to seminary and study? No. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me. Christian, what has God done for you in Christ? You ought to preach that in your own way. The mercy of God in Christ to you. Your story is not my story. Your story is not the person sitting next to you's story. Yes, some, maybe even right here tonight, some will become pastors and teachers. Terrific. But you do realize that a quiet person may only speak to their neighbor, their family. You might never preach in a pulpit, and I was going to say fully half, but I didn't do the math, but there's a gender here that shouldn't preach in pulpits, period. You may never preach in a pulpit, but brothers and sisters, a changed habit and life will express the truth of God more clearly, even if it's quiet, than anything else that you could do. No, you may not be all that you should be. I don't think I've found a genuine Christian yet who said, I'm everything I should be. I've arrived. I've got it all together. I don't need to study anymore, pray anymore, read the Bible. I've got it all together. Have you ever met a Christian that said that? They're not a Christian, by the way, if they said that. You might not be all that you should be. You certainly are not all that you're going to be. But by the grace of God, in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, can you not say you're not what you used to be? In your own way? Can you show and tell the gospel by living for Christ? Yeah, maybe talking to others. Why do you go to church on Sunday night? Well, let me tell you. You don't need an MVIF to answer that question. Straightway. Straightway might be different for each one of you, but the principle remains. Christian, there is something for you to do. Your behavior, your habits, your speech, your money management. You ever think about that? Your checkbook should look different after you become a Christian than it did before you were a Christian. your Sunday routine, your Bible reading, your prayer. All of those things are to be done for Christ. Straightway. As soon as you believe in Him, there is a new message to be followed and proclaimed without delay. We don't say, come to Christ, now wait 7 months before you tell anybody about it, before you make any changes, before you start. We don't do that. And Paul didn't do that either. He has a new fellowship. He tried to join the disciples. But it took some convincing. We're going to see that in a little more detail really next week. But Paul has become part of the body of Christ. And immediately he preached the Christ straightway. You have a new way of thinking. You've put on the mind of Christ. How are you going to do this straightway? Well, one of the ways, again, read His Word. If you've come face to face with this Christ, don't you think you ought to get to know Him? And the Gospel of John says what near the end of it? I have written these things so that you might know Him. You ought to hang with His sheep. They ought to become your best friends. You ought to do what He says to do. And yes, you ought to go where He leads. Whatever doubts and fears you might have. What are you supposed to do with the doubts and fears that you, but I'm not an expressive person. I'm not a type A personality like you, Pastor. Well, take your doubts and fears to the Lord. What would you have me to do? Work on those doubts and fears. Work in spite of those doubts and fears. Walk through them. And do that with the help of the body of Christ. The church. Straightway. By the way, you know, as well as I do, that inactivity will cripple your walk. Just like inactivity will cripple your body. And your inactivity on your walk with the Lord will cripple it faster than any difficulty or hardship will. What is the language of the Bible? The language of the Bible is all active. Run the race. Walk worthy. Strive. It's a word, agony. To enter. Wrestle. Press toward the upward goal. Realize that every one of those things is on your to-do list, Christian. We often say, in biblical counseling, if you will, feelings follow actions. If you wait until you feel like doing it, well, there's a lot of things you might never do. But we are to be straightway doing the things that the Bible clearly tells us to do. And if you lay those first few bricks in the right order, the foundation will be strong. And the house of the Lord that you're building in your life will be good. We are creatures of habit, aren't we? We all have them. Every part of your life can be stronger, healthier, with good habits. A Christian who does the right thing for the right reason, that is God's glory and in the name of Christ. The Christian who does the right thing for the right reason is preaching Christ in all their life. Straightway, the miseries of this life will either fade or be dealt with in faith. If you don't put off, delay, and ignore God's word. A lot of Christians are struggling with stuff because the miseries of this life are right in front of them, and rather than doing what God says, the way God says it, when God says it, they're doing all kinds of psychological, spiritual, and emotional gymnastics. The enemies of the gospel are at a loss when a Christian is actually doing, without hesitation, what is right and true and according to the word of God. The enemies of the gospel of Christ are at a loss when any Christian is actually doing, without hesitation, straightway, what is right and true and good and according to God's word. And those who are discouraged will be encouraged by such an example. Paul's life is not meant to be your life. Remember I said, this passage, this scripture, this presentation of Paul is not about getting you to become an apostle, a missionary, or a pastor. But his example of immediately getting on with doing what Christ expects, that's a lesson for all of us. It should be a lesson for every Christian. Does the Bible call itself the Word of God, the bread of heaven? Yes, it does. So when should you start reading it? Straightway. Not next year, in your New Year's resolution. If you didn't make the resolution to read the Bible more this year, get on with it. Straightway. Unless you're that person who can tell me, I've read all the Bible I need to read. There's lots for us to do. Even though we're never going to be called to be an apostle, or a missionary, or a pastor. Some of us have the day off tomorrow. Good downtime, good relaxing time. Those are wonderful. But Tuesday's coming. We're going to go right back to the routines of our lives. Should we not walk worthy of the high calling that Christ has given us? Whatever that calling might be. Paul did not hesitate. Neither should we. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we do come and recognize that there's still work to do in our lives. We're not all that we should be. We haven't arrived. We still have far to go. And so we need the presence of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, the Word of God, to light our path, guide us and direct us. Father, we pray that we might right away, immediately, pursue those things that lead to a closer walk with you, to the fruit of the Spirit, to the emblems of righteousness in our lives. O Lord, work on us and in us that we might more and more die to that old nature and put on our new nature in Christ. can't do it without or apart from Him. May we find that strength that's encouraged in that passage. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. O Lord, strengthen us to the glory of Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. Let's close our worship tonight by turning once again in the Red Trinity Hymnal. This time we're turning to number 304. If you are able, let's stand together and sing, I heard the voice of Jesus say,